Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do,
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion, your host, Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back again on tonight across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I want to take this opportunity, I want to take this podium and this stage to send out condolences to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 12 hours, the last 30 minutes. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. But we want you to know that God has pilgrims, prayer warriors that's praying for you and with you, hallelujah, around the clock. They're praying for the sick and the shut in, the brokenhearted, hallelujah, the downtrodden. So I just want you to know that in your hour of despair, that you are not alone. And we want you to be encouraged. And we're praying that God will restore your joy and restore restoration unto your heart and soul. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank God and amen. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that so graciously continue to tune in to the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And I know that God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. You say, Overseer Ward, why do you say God has a blessing with my name on it? I'm saying God has a blessing for those that are cheerful givers. It don't have to be monetary in value, but it can also be your talent and your time. And whatever you render unto God, God tell us that he's going to bless us. God say he blesses, as I first stated, a cheerful giver. So in doing so, God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. And I am scheduled to be with you in 1 hour on this evening. But before we go into any further preliminaries, we're going to go into our opening prayer. I'm going to open up the chat room for your sitting and listening pleasure. And I'm going to also post up the prayer request line. Those of you that desire prayer, I want you to call in. And at the conclusion of my program, I want you to call in. And you can request prayer. Hallelujah. And so I will be just elated to pray with you in faith. That whatever you pray for, hallelujah, that God will grant it. Hallelujah. And I know that God hears our prayers. God, do not turn a deaf ear unto your and mine cry or our prayer petition. Hallelujah. So I just want you to know that the prayer line will be available after the conclusion of this program. And may God richly bless you, you and you. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for you because it means so much to me to be able to come across and deliver a word from the Lord. You know, this is not on my accord, but it's on God's accord that I am here and that he sent me, he told me to go out and preach my gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So that's the reason that I'm here, is because God has placed me here at such a time as this. So I want you to bow your beautiful heads. I want you to bring all of your digital devices. May they be your laptop. May they be your iPhone, your smartphone, your tablet. Bring them aboard. You can bring your latte, your OJ, your water beverages, or chip and dip, whatever you want to sip, and bring them aboard. Because we are in need of your digital devices. We are in a high-tech society. And so now we're less bringing our Bibles into the congregation, but we're bringing our tablets. And so whatever, like I said, digital devices that you have that you can go along with me as I present the word of God unto you, I'll give you the scripture, I'll give you the verse in which you can go back and relate and reflect on what we talked about on tonight. So I'm just asking you right now, if you will, to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Hallelujah. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, oh, gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, it's not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting, God, our home that's not built by mortal man. But you are the architect and you are the creator, God. But until you crack those clouds, one of these historical days, God, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims, God, through this barren land. And hallelujah, I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring them a word, God. Hallelujah to those that may then again may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their heart and soul. We'll be so mindful, God, to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the kingdom family of God say amen and amen. And my throat is kind of dry on tonight. I didn't bring me any water beverages into the studio, so I will just have to make do. And you pray for me, hallelujah, but I know that my throat is relatively dry at this time. But we're going to take you right now on into a live program that's already, hallelujah, in progression. And our theme on tonight, entitled, 2,000-Year-Old Sprout. I'm going to say that one more time. 2,000-Year-Old Sprout. And we're going to read from our first key scripture. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We thank you, God, for everything that you have done. And we give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so our first key scripture reads this. It says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in old age. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 92 and 12 and 13. Psalms 92 and 12, and then 14. I'm sorry, then 14. So we're talking about aging. That's what we're talking about on tonight. And our second key scripture reads this. Hallelujah. It says, "For I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 39 and 12. Hallelujah. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to go on down to our second key scripture, and it reads this. It says, "The Lord loved justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 37 and 28. Hallelujah. So, we are talking about aging. We know that in this time in which you and I live, hallelujah, we know that those that have parents that are still with us, they're aging gracefully. Your friends, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, your niece and nephews even seem to be catching up with you. Hallelujah. So, we're going to talk about, hallelujah, how sometimes on this journey, you and I are told that we might be too old, in which to continue to even hold Sunday school, you know, or to preach or to witness or whatever you want to do for God. But you are told that you are too old. Hallelujah. So I want you to know, hallelujah, that it is such a time that, you know, one can get too old. But if you still have, you know, that desire, you still have that stigma to continue to preach and reach people, hallelujah, then God bless you. Because we know that age is only a number. Hallelujah. Age is only a number. And so, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. I'm trying my best to get my program up and going here on other devices. So, like I said, hallelujah. We're going on in Jesus' name, hallelujah, because we know that God is worthy to be praised. And you know, it's just a sober reminder of the brevity of life that God promised you and I and us. 70 give or take a few years, and you and I are gone. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 9 and 10. We find out that Israel poet was right. We're but strangers here, and we're sojourners. We know that the brevity of life makes us think about our end, the measure of our days and how fleeting they are. We know that a feeling that grows more certain as you and I draw closer to the end of our lives. But we're not talking about death, so don't get scared. We're talking about working. Continue to work in God's vineyard and work and labor for God and for God's glory. And we know that this world is not our home. We're but strangers and sojourners here. Yet, we're not alone on this journey. We're strangers and sojourners with God. Hallelujah. And though that makes the journey less troubling and less frightening, less worrisome, we pass through this world, hallelujah, and into the next with a loving Father as a constant companion and guide. We're strangers here on earth, but we are never alone on this journey. We have one who says, I am with you always. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 28 and 10. 28 and 20. 28 and 20. We may lose sight of father and mothers and our spouses, our friends, our colleagues, our business partners, our caregivers, our nurse, practitioner, our doctor, our insurance salesman, and those that are near and dear unto our heart and our soul. But we know we are in good company on the road makes the way to seem lighter. As you and I travel life, we know that we sometimes are weary. But Jesus can lift a heavy load. We're talking about aging on tonight. We're talking about a 2,000-year-old sprout. We're talking about being young and then growing old, growing in age. We know that being young has many advantages, but the age comes the joy of reflecting on God's faithfulness. And we're reminded in the law of Psalms 37, reads that I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, verse 25. Now that I'm in my 50s, I reflect and wonder how I ever could have thought that God has forsaken me. Yes, he has permitted me to face what seemed like insurmountable difficulties, you and I and us. But now I know that it was only to shape me and you and us. God has always preserved you and I and us. When I stumble, I know that it is the Lord who upholds me with his hand. I know the other evening I almost fallen over onto a chase that was some valuable crystal china. And I just lost my balance. And I was saying, oh, Lord, you know, how in the world did I lose my balance and almost fallen over? You know, I was on a step stool and I lost my balance and I almost fallen over into some crystal dishes that I had there on display. But God upheld me with his mighty hand. And we know that we are growing older all the time. But we can also grow more thankful for God's many mercies. Above all, we are grateful that he put the love of his law in our heart and kept our step from sliding. God's faithfulness we've known throughout the years, his oneness with us and our joy and our tears. So many times the Lord has helped us through, has answered prayers and given strength anew. As the years add up, we know that God's faithfulness multiplies. We're talking about the 2,000-year-old sprout. We're talking about age. We're talking about the promises of God. Through Abraham, his descendants, God kept his promise. He always keeps his promise to you and I and us. His children. God has never lied to us, and God never will. God is not going to start lying now, but God is a faithful God, faithful unto his word, faithful unto his children, his disciples, his heirs and joint heirs. We are heirs and joint heirs of Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. We are the sheep of his pasture. And we know that some folks grow gratefully, while others become grouchy and ill-tempered. But it's important to know which way we're growing, because we're all growing older. people don't get irritable and short-tempered merely because they're getting older. We know that aging doesn't have to make us hypocritical and cranky. No, it's more likely that we become what we've been becoming all along. Paul wrote that he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 6 and 8. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Those who ponder to self-interest and think only of themselves are sowing seeds that will produce a harvest of misery in themselves and in others. On the other hand, those who love God and care for others are sowing seeds that in time will yield a harvest of joy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that God put it this way, that when we yield to self-interest, that flesh, then we reap corruption. But he said, if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. And every time you and I make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses into something a little different from what it was before. We can choose to submit our will to God each day, asking him to give us strength to live for him and for others. As he works in us and through us, we will grow in grace and in kindness. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, which way am I and you and us? Which way we are growing? We know that the seed we sow today will determine the kind of fruit we'll reap tomorrow. We're talking about on tonight the 2,000-year-old sprout. We're talking about aging on tonight. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we know that sometime in this journey, we know that sometime our voice might get a little, seem like to get a little weak at times when we grow in age and we're growing gracefully in God. And so it might seem that our hair tends to get a little silvery, maybe around our temple area or in the nape of our hairline. We know that age is catching up to you and I and us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. But we know that even so, we continually to move in the direction that God has allowed. And Moses said that my eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 34 and 7. Hallelujah. And so I just want to share, hallelujah, a story with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We're told that there was a woman whom was a silent film star. And when the talking movie came into fashion, she lost her audience. It goes on to say that as the woman age, she longed for the glory of her past. In her mind, her silent facial expressions alone made a good movie, not a dialogue. But in the song, With one look, she sings, with one look, I can break your heart. With one look, I play every part. With one look, I ignite a blaze. I'll return to my glory days. This woman, hallelujah, lived in the past. Her life ended in tragedy. It's been said that each life is like a book. You live once, one chapter at a time. And if you think your most fruitful years are behind you, remember, you're writing a new chapter now. Learn to live each day with contentment in the present. Near the end of Moses' life, God showed him the promised land. Clearly, he had accomplished his mission in life. But he didn't long for the miracles of his glory days. Instead, Moses was content to obey God in the present. In his sunset years, he mentioned Joshua to be his successor in the law of Deuteronomy 31:1-8. We know that living continually and living in content in the present has a way of making you and I and us productive for a lifetime and for God's glory. God said, I give my life to you, O Lord. I live for you each day. And grant me contentment as I strive to follow and obey. We know that living in the past paralyzes the present and it bankrupts the future. So you and I are to live in contentment. Strive to continue to serve God in whatever avenue and position that you can. If it's in the choir, singing in the choir. If it's evangelizing. If it's ministering. If it's preaching around the world. If it's urging the guest into the sanctuary. If it's on the prayer line, praying for one another, those that are in need, those that have a hurting heart, those that are having a mindset to give up, to throw in the towel, to end their lives, and you're on the prayer line to say a comforting word to that man or that woman or that boy or that girl, then God bless you. So whatever field that you're in, that you're presenting unto God. See, whatever that we do right here in this age mode that we're in, it's not counted as a loss, but it's counted as joy. It's counted that we're laying up our labor up in heaven where the thieves will not hang out. The thieves are not allowed up in heaven. The liars is not allowed up in heaven. The moth is not allowed up in heaven to eat away at your belongings. But only on earth saw that the thief can come and ravish through your goods and take what they want. That the moth can eat away at your currency, can eat away at your garments. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. But whatever you do for God, in whatever age that you're in, you praise God and give God the glory to allow you. Because, see, God only promised you and I. He promised you and I 70. And if God allowed you more time than that, then you owe God a praise. You owe God thanks. You owe God gratitude for allowing you to live beyond the 70. My mother died as a relatively young age. I have some siblings that has died in one on. I have nephew that went on as a young guy. So in young age, he didn't get to reap from that 70. My mother didn't get to reap from that 70. My father, I think he might have reaped some of that 70. But I have other family members that did not get to reap from that 70. But if you are still here in your golden age, give God glory, give God thanks. We cannot thank God enough, because we know that there are many that has went on ahead of you and I and us. But as long as we got breath and we are able bodies, we can still be used of God and through God and by God. Don't complain. But go on and work cheerfully. Be a cheerful giver in God's vineyard. Because whatever you do for God is going to count in the end. We're talking about the 3,000-year-old sprout. I mean the 2,000-year-old sprout. We're talking about aging. We're talking about the promises of God. We're talking about working in God's vineyard, even in your golden years. The Bible tells us, he said that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. Now, this is what God said in the law of Psalms 92 and 12. On through 14. We know that the date palm has an important role in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the tree is linked to the temple and the presence of God. The New Testament describes excited crowd of praising God and throwing palm branches at his feet of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. God promised to bless the world through the descendants of Abraham. He also laid dormant for 2,000 years. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Genesis 12 and 1 through 3. Finally, he says that the seeds of promise sprouted. That seed was Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. Soon the story of his resurrected life would go out to every nation on earth. The miracle is now ours to experience. Time is not a factor. Neither is the barren ground of circumstances. All that matters is that we allow our heart to be the soil in which Christ is welcome and worship. God promised it's like a tiny seed. It may seem to be an empty thing, but hidden in that tiny seed is life that waits the warmer spring. We know that God never makes a promise that he will not keep. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that our bodies, we know that it possesses, is prone to aging, its physical decline and ultimate death. But the resurrection Jesus Christ holds within it the promise of a new supernatural body, raised in glory. The Apostle Paul tells us, the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So those of us that have died and went on before you and I and us, even though they died in a corrupted body, but God said they will raise, so they will rise in an incorrupted body. Hallelujah. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Hallelujah. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Corinthians 15 and 42 through 43. As life takes its course in the aging process, you and I and us, we have the hope of a new body that will far outshine the original one. Despite our aches and our pains, our destiny belongs safely in the hands of Jesus, the author and the finisher of yours and mine and our faith. That scripture reading is coming out of love, Hebrews 12 and 2. God says new bodies will be ours someday, according to God's grand design. Forever with the Lord to reign, praise God for the promise divine. In a twinkling of an eye, you and I and us, we shall be changed. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, just as quick as you can blink your eyelashes upon the other one, God say, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortality shall put on immortality. This mortal body, the mortal body that our family members, our parents, our father, our mother, our uncles, our aunts, our business partners, our nieces and our nephews, the body that they left out with was a mortality body. But when Jesus cracked those clouds one of these historical days and tell those that died in Christ to rise first, God said they will put on immortality bodies. From mortality to immortality bodies. That means that they will put on a new body. They will be new and improved. We shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. We shall be like Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no bullet that can harm this body. There's no knife that can harm this body. You can't stab this body. You cannot shoot at this body, because it is an incorruptible body. You cannot harm it any longer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. So we know that in Joshua 14, we read that Caleb did not allow his advance in age to prevent him from believing that God would still honor his promise after 45 years earlier. As one of the original scouts sent into the promised land, he saw large cities inhabited by powerful people of great stature in the law of Numbers 13 and 28 through 33. Caleb was faithful to God and believed that he would help the Israelite conquer the land. At 85 years of age, Caleb was still physically strong, his faith unwavering. He trusted that God will help him to conquer the land, even though it still had giants. Joshua blessed Caleb with his portion of the land, fulfilling God's 45-year-old promise. But like Caleb, you and I and us, we must not allow age, our personal giant, or yet unfulfilled promise to prevent you and I and us from believing that God still honors his word to you and I and us in our old golden years. If God's creation helped you and I and us to see what wonders he can do, then we can trust his promises, for they are always true. We know that every promise of God comes with his personal guarantee. We know that God's word has been tried, it can be trusted, and it is guaranteed of your money back. And we know that you're not going to get any money back, because we know that God's word is sure. What God said he will do, he will do. God is not a man. He said, I am not a man that I should lie, nor am I a son of man that I should repent. So we know that God is a God of his word. And if you are out at your rightful age, you are still ministering, you are still able, you still got your vigor, and you're still able to minister the divine word of God, then blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God knows our heart. And God tell us to work until I come. He doesn't say work to you too old to preach, too old to minister, too old to usher, too old to witness, too old to be on the prayer line. But God tells you and I, he said, work till I come. God said, work while it's day. Because when nighttime comes, then it is no way that man or woman can see how to work. So he tells us to work while it's day and to work until I come. You know, we have some that retire out of ministry, you know. So those that can retire out, that you know, you feel like, hey, you've done your work that God has set out for you to do, then you can pass the baton on to someone else. See, this is what it is. It's when we feel like we're too old in this game, then we pass the baton on. We just keep passing the baton on, keep passing it down to the next generation. And we continue to work till God comes. See, it's a great thing to be able to work when you're 60, 70, 80 years old and still work for God in his vineyard. Continue to, you know, press on. He said, press on to a higher mark in Jesus. See, we continue to press on to a higher calling in Jesus. See, we know where we've been, but we don't know where we're going, but we know where we want to go. And I know that I want to go higher height and deeper depths in Jesus. That is my ultimate goal, is to go higher in Jesus. Hallelujah, because we know that this world is not our eternal destination. We're just guests. See, we're just guests here. And we know that we have a home that's not made by mortal man. But Jesus is the architect. Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the creator. He said, in my Father's house, I go away to prepare you a mansion. And he said, in my Father's house is many mansions. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. He said, but I go away. And while I'm gone, I'm preparing a place for you. And when I crack those clouds one historical day to come after my seed, to come after my bride, to come after my groom, to come after the church, to come after the saints, to come after the disciples, to come after the pilgrims, hallelujah, then I will receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. You know that's going to be a glorious day after you have suffered the many pains and setbacks and booby traps that the enemy has tried to set up for you and I here on planet Earth. We had to cry. We had to sob. We had to sigh sometime. We had to cry sometime. That was an old song, so I don't know why I have to cry sometime. You don't know why you have to cry sometime. We don't know why we have to cry sometime. But the song goes on to say, but I'll find out, you'll find out, we'll find out by and by. But we have to cry sometime down here on planet Earth. We have ills in our body. We have pains and ills that travels through our extremities. And we don't even know where the pain coming from. And we might say, oh, Lord, you know, oh, that hurt. Touch my body, God. Remove that pain, you know. And we might have just a pounding headache just come out of nowhere. And we just, you know, right there, we just say, God, touch this headache. Remove this headache, God, you know. Because me, myself, I know I don't get headaches, but when I get a headache, I know it's from stress or it's from something that have come into my life, you know, some bad news or something gigantic that, you know, and when it enters, it goes right to your head. Look like somebody tell you some disturbing news. It goes right to your head and then it goes to other parts of your body, you know, your other extremities. So, you know, it's like I'm saying, we don't know why we have to cry sometime down here on planet Earth. But we'll find out by and by. And we know that when this life is over, and then we cross over to the next life. People say, when you're dead, you're done. But I beg to differ, because when you are dead, you are a long way from being done. Because first of all, those that are in the grave right now is going to have to rise. And the only way they're going to rise is Jesus will call them out the grave. And the Bible says that those that died in Christ is going to rise first. So if you have a mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, or aunt, grandparents, colleague, business partner, that you know died, you know that lived the life of Christ, and you know that they died serving God, then those individuals are going to rise first. And then after that, God have came after his bridegroom, that's the church, then there will be a day of reckoning. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. So your death is not when you're dead, you're done. Because you're going to have to come up out the grave. And you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God to be judged by the deeds that's done in this old body. The Bible says, may it be good or not so good. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give account of what we've done, of what we didn't do, of what we should have did. You know, those that we should have loved and we refused to love and we just kept on hating them. They asked for our forgiveness, but we said, no, I'm not going to forgive you. You know, we neglected to hearken to the forgiveness. And we chose to keep on hating and despising them and just, you know, rejecting them. They tried to reach out to you and I and us. You have people tried to reach out to you. You have loved ones that tried to reach out to you that may have done you harm in the past. But you know what? We're bigger than that. We got to get over that. We got to move on. We got to press on to the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. Because on that day, on that great getting up day, on that great judgment day, when we have to give account the good and the bad that we have done in this whole body, whatever we're doing right now is being written down, God said in the Lamb Book of Life. And on judgment day, the Bible says that there was a book that was open. That was the 66 books, but that was another book. And that was the book of life. The book of life determined yours and mine and our destination, where we're going after this life. See, we have two ways we can go after this life. We can go to heaven. We can choose heaven, which is choose life, or we can go to hell and choose death. We have a choice in the matter. God is not going to drag us by a toupee. He's not going to drag us by a wig. He's not going to drag us by a skirt tail. He's not going to drag us by a shirt tail. But God said, choose ye today who you're going to serve. Because you can't serve me and Satan at the same time. Darkness and light cannot walk hand in hand. So we have to choose which way we want to go. God leaves that up to yours and mine and our choosing. To choose ye this day who you're going to serve. So when you die from this earthly life, and not everybody is going to die, because some are going to be here when Jesus crack those clouds one historical day. There will be saints that will be standing and looking up when Jesus, when the trumpet sound. The Bible says when the trumpet sound, that those that's dead in Christ shall rise first. He didn't say the sinner's going to rise first. But he said, those that died in Christ, meaning you gave your life to God and you lived the holy and sanctification lifestyle till death did you part. That's what that means. That those that died in Christ are going to have, we're going to have the, what I want to say, we're going to have the liberty of rising first. God are going to give us the liberty to rise first out of the ground, those that died here on planet Earth, those that already gone before us. Hallelujah. But whatever you do for God is going to last. So whatever you're doing right now for God, whatever it is, you know what you're doing for God. And whatever you do for God is going to make the difference in the end. Because what you're doing, you're just adding bricks to your building. I'm talking about to that spiritual building beyond glory land. That's what I'm talking about. Where the streets, the Bible says that they are not spray painted on, but the Bible says that they are paved in gold. You can put every rich individual on this planet together, and they could not afford to pave their street of their residence in gold. They would go bankrupt. See, God allowed some of those things for us. You know, it's kind of like lying in waiting. It is lying in waiting, actually. It's lying in waiting. God allowed us to enjoy the fine homes, the we call them mansions, the fine cars, we call them Rolls Royce, we call them Bentley, and their Lamborghinis, and so on and so forth. But we stop at the mansion. That's all we can acquire here in this life is a mansion, a palace, a castle. That's the biggest prize that we can obtain in this earthly life. We don't have gates made of pearl. You find your billionaire and your average billionaire and your millionaire don't have secluded gates that are paved in gold, because that person would go bankrupt trying to make that a reality. So God leaves some of that for our enjoyment, because I believe that if God give us all of that to obtain now, we would say, well, you know, what's the use of trying to go to heaven? Some really believe that they got to heaven right here in the now. They believe they got to heaven on earth right now, because their money is their God. Some of them, their houses, they got. Their cars, they got, you know. But those are just temporary things that are going to rot away. It's going to pass away. So God said, don't lay up your treasures down here on earth where thieves and moths, the moth can come in and eat away at your money, at your jewels. And thieves can come in and steal and take them from you. But lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves is not going to be allowed, and neither will moth. See, and that's what God's saying, lay up your treasures. And we're talking about spirit now. We're not talking about earthly possessions, because you won't need your cell phone in heaven. You won't need your wallet and your purse in heaven. You won't need your Lamborghini in heaven. You won't need your mansion in heaven. You won't need your bundle of money in heaven. This is just earthly enjoyments. Your $1,000 bill, your Franklin, your Hamilton, your Washington. You know, those are just earthly commodities. But we have something that awaits us. It wants us to want to see what that prize that Jesus has lying in waiting for you and I. I want to see what that mansion that Jesus has in waiting. I've seen these earthly mansions, but I'm talking about a mansion that's not made by the hand of man. Man didn't have a hand in this mansion that awaits you and I and us. But God the creator. God is the architect of the building that lying in waiting for you and I. Those streets, God didn't get a can of paint and he didn't spray from a can gold on the streets. But the Bible says that these streets are paved in pure gold. Do you hear what I'm saying? The streets are paved in pure gold. It's got to be a beautiful sight. Just to think on it, to think about the description that the Bible gives. He says that it's three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the east, and three gates on the west. And the gates are big, gigantic pearls. Can you imagine gates, your enclosure? Gates are engraved with gold. Pearls. Pearls. Gigantic pearls on the gates. Oh, my God. And then God is going to crown each saint of God that have lived holy down here on this earthly planet. Live how God should live. He said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Did you do that? God will look into that book of life. And the Bible spells B-I-B-L-E means biblical instructions before leaving earth. So when God opened those books, not the 66 books, but that book of life, that he gonna rewind yours and mine life. Like we put a cassette in, our cassette player, and we rewind, you know, back to where we want to start the movie or start the audio or whatever it is. That's the way our life will be. Our life will be rewind by God himself before the whole world to see. Now, that's not what I said, but that's what the Word of God says. Our life will be rewind. So it behooves you and I to live like God has commanded you and I to live. I know it hurts to love on people that hate you and despise you, but God said love them anyway. You know, that cousin or that aunt or uncle that just gets on your nerves, God said love them anyway. Those that try to belittle you and say you are nothing, you're not going to amount to anything, God said love them anyway. Those that hate you and spitefully use you, God said, love them anyway. Because in the end, they'll lie, waiting a crown of life, a crown that God will place upon each one that have lived according to God's instructions. Instruction is his Bible. Those are 66 books I'm talking about, from Genesis to Revelation. Those are the 66 books that I'm talking about. That is our biblical instructions that we live by every day. Bible means B-I-B-L-E. So the definition of B-I-B-L-E is biblical instructions before leaving earth. So if we have followed the guidelines of our biblical instructor, and that's Jesus Christ, and we followed it to the letter, then we can look to reign with God up in heaven. We can look to walk on those streets of gold. We can look to look upon those pearly gates. We can look to walk in gold slippers and have a long white robe. I mean, whiter than the white you ever witnessed in all of your life. You've seen a white blouse. You probably own a white blouse in your lifetime here on earth. But I tell you, it's beyond the white that you can go into the store and buy. It's white, the purest white you ever seen in all of your life. The only way you can see this whiteness is to be holy. God said you got to be, you must be holy, because I am holy. So if we want to see Jesus, you and I, we got to be holy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hallelujah. So when we have done everything that God has instructed you and I and us to do here on planet, we can look to receive a crown of life. We want to hear God say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." We don't want God to tell us to depart from me because your work was of iniquity. You lied and you swore and you cheated and you robbed. You taken from the poor. And you didn't help the poor. Those that needed a food, you didn't give them a food. They needed a shirt, you didn't give them a shirt. They needed a skirt, you didn't give them a skirt. They needed a pair of shoes, you didn't give them a pair of shoes. They needed some money to buy them something to eat. And you had money, but you kept your hand close together. And you didn't give them anything. Those are the things that's going to be rewind on Judgment Day. So it behooves you and I to live by God's law, to do what he says do, in order that we might obtain it. And we're talking about that crown of life, that robe, those gold slippers. It's nothing on planet Earth, nothing that you can ever obtain in your life, in this natural life that we're living on right now, that can compare. It cannot even compare to what Jesus has awaiting for you and I. So in ending, I know that my time has run on away from here. So our sermon on tonight has been, hallelujah, the 2,000 years sprout. And we're talking about aging. Hallelujah. 2,000-year-old sprout. We've been talking about aging and continually to serve God in whatever area that pleases God. Whatever we render to God, he'll be so grateful to you and I. Whatever we render, if you're an organist, pianist, you're a singer, you know, you're a choir conductor, whatever your gift is, if you're a dynamic speaker, whatever your gift of gab is, then God loves whatever you do for him. God get joy out of it. So, on this morning, our theme has been the 2,000-year-old sprout. We've been talking about aging. When people say you're too aged to minister, to teach Sunday school, and they say you can't, but God say you can. You'll continue on until God say so. You work until God say it's time for you to step aside and pass the baton. So in ending, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship of Zion, go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. So your correspondent, make them attentive too. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gerard, California, 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. We're going to now turn you over to the second part of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
somebody said, if God said it, then it's so.
Such a long time for God to provide. And you've been praying for God to work a miracle in your life. And the Lord said, Lord, with you.
Young man
in this wheelchair. Shirley came back there in the back, and we was like, man, he was praising God with everything he had. And y'all come to church, and you sit there, and you be like, I don't feel like praising. We complain, mumble, we grumble. I told somebody the other day, they were fussing about, I'm tired of my job, I'm tired of my boss man. I just feel like walking off, and I say, stop. Right now, honey, you need to thank God you got a job. I was in my church, and this little song came to me and it said,